Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand? LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got fun. Hey, everybody, what's going on? It's Owen here on the Fansmanship podcast. I had a chance last week to sit down with Cal Poly head basketball coach Joe Calero. We didn't have as long of a conversation as we've had in the past, but maybe that's good in terms of some of the questions that we got answered. Joe talked a little bit about what I thought was most interesting, maybe running the ball a little bit more. It's something that Cal Poly threatened to do the last time they went overseas in the summertime. They went to Costa Rica, and they talked a lot about pressing the ball. They talked a lot about pressing, and at that point, some guys got injured before that season started, and during that season, it wasn't something they were able to do. This year, Joe's got pretty much as deep a team as he's had, I think, kind of 1-12, 1-14, since he's been at Cal Poly. They're definitely all his guys. There's some transfers, some new blood coming into the program this year that's going to contribute right away. And so we talked a little bit about that as well and kind of what the goals are for Cal Poly. I asked Joe if a top three preseason pick of Cal Poly was something that was a fair prediction for him. So anyway, I hope you enjoy the conversation. It's only about 10 or 12 minutes with Joe Calero, the Cal Poly head basketball coach, here on the Fansmanship.com podcast. We don't raise our glass, we congregate, smoke blood. We all got dreams, some chase them. We come to California for the chance to taste them. I'm picked for plain sore, Jack Dennis porn, Gucci shades, only thing foreign, California porn.
So how's practice going so far? Big picture.
It's probably the best intensity, depth, and competitiveness we've had from 1 through 14 since I've been at Cal Poly.
That's what Reese said. Yeah, he's been here for 5, right?
So, yep.
Yeah.
Reese been here 5. So if you make a if you're not on your A game intensity wise and fundamentally, the other guy across the way is good enough and hungry enough to take advantage of it. So makes for a fast practice. It makes for an intensity, and we're playing much faster and much more aggressive. And it's fun to coach, and it's fun to play in.
2 years ago, I felt like you guys were similarly kind of, I don't want to say deep, because I think there were positions that were that you had, like Phil Drake UU at the point guard, for example, and he wasn't necessarily a natural point guard. Turned into one at the professional level, was something. But
Doing with David now.
Okay, so is that kind of a similar thing that's happening with David? And then, you know, you have Ridge, and you have a freshman in Jalen Shedd, too, who can play at that position. Let's start there.
Yeah, I mean, obviously Jalen, Ridge Shipley's a pure point guard. He wants the ball. He handles the ball both hands. He can run a team. He can set the offense up. Jalen Shedd is the heir apparent to Ridge and can play with Ridge as a two, and Ridge can move over to the side. They can play together. But what we're trying to do is develop David as a top-down driver where he can really attack open spaces and still kick out, because both Jalen and Ridge can catch and shoot quite well. And David's not as accomplished shooter, but is I think his pro career is suited as a point guard. And the more he's playing, I played him a little bit there in Europe, or in Paris, that is, and then in practice, whenever he gets a rebound, he takes it. And in certain sets, we allow him to take the ball and start as a top-down point guard.
I always think that you guys are going to have last couple of years like more shooters than you know what to do with, but because of, you know, whether it's you know, grades or injuries or whatever, you know, you guys got kind of decimated there last year, you know, where you really only have one or two guys who are shooting the three ball who are on the court at any given time. Again, I come into this year and I say, well, maybe they have, like, you know, I don't want to say too many good shooters, but they have, you know, 4 or 5 guys who can really shoot lights out. And and is that, I mean, talk to me a little bit about the shooters that you guys have.
Well, I think that it's where you go, that, like, as you mentioned, it's the second shooter you've got to have on the court, and the third is when you can really play well. Because if Joel Allwich, as a 4-man, is hitting, now the court gets really big. If
now you have 4 out of 5 guys who can shoot the three.
Well, it depends on David. David's not going to be a consistent 3-point shooter. The guys are going to sag off him a little bit, and He's starting to make more of that, but that's not what we're going to on David.
Right, sure.
But I think that Shipley can hit it. Obviously, Sutliff coming in healthy this year is huge for us. Reese Morgan, we know, can hit it. And then the surprise for us this summer was Trevor John, the freshman redshirt. More athletic, stronger, more aggressive, really looked like a Dylan Royer type of player. And then Luke Meikle, the Gonzaga transfer. Luke is a pick and pop four. Josh Martin, a transfer from Minnesota, won't be eligible for 7 or 8 games. A little inconsistent with his balance to shoot the shot right now. Our five men don't shoot the three, and so we're not expecting that out of Bennett, Zach Gordon, and Alex Abrams. They just got to go in there and grind. And the freshman kid out of Lake Chelan, Hank Hollingsworth is not a three-point threat for us, and we're probably a redshirt guy. So four guys are definitely not shooting it, but it really comes down to the tweener guys, whether they can make that three and space the court for us.
Yeah, I mean, court spacing is a big deal for you, and end of the shot clock kind of shots more recently. I've heard you say you're going to run the ball a little bit, and my response was, after having seen you for the last 5 years, I said kind of playfully, I'll believe it when I see it. Are you guys looking at being a little bit faster this year?
Well, you got to simply go online and watch us play. We're in Europe. In Paris. We averaged 80 points a game in a 40-minute game. Practice, we take it out and we push it every single day. The funny part about it is I've coached for started my 28th year, and for majority of my career, I've had fast-breaking teams.
Seattle.
We were the number one scoring offense in junior college for, three or four straight years, and led the Northwest in scoring. We were very quick, aggressive, athletic, pushed it, scored it. We actually led the Northwest in my junior college days in scoring and in defense. The thing is, if you don't have the depth to run 8-10 guys, and you don't have point guard experience play and athletic wings, then you have a tendency to dial down and be more close to your possessions. But even with UNLV and UCLA in those first games, we figured we got to establish a more aggressive style. Shot clock's only at 30 seconds now, and we think we need to get more easy baskets, and we have better athletes and better depth that allows us to be a more aggressive push the ball team.
I look at this position by position, and I was going to talk about depth, and it's really that you guys are like, it seems like, two or three deep at least at every position. I mean, it seems like it's the first time that's really been the case where, before it's been like, I can't afford to lose this player at this position. Not that you ever want to lose a player at a position, but this year it seems like, really you guys are just deep at every place in terms of having a guy that you might trust.
Well, we want to have every option. I want to have all those options all year. We want to be able to have 10, 12 that can go in, and you might only play 10. I will try to play 10 every game up through Christmas. At that point, I try to narrow it down and decide, but I'll go back to our Big West championship run. We played 10 guys, and we got quality minutes out of 10 guys, and that allowed us to win 3 games in a row and allowed us to have the energy to go back and play Texas Southern and have the energy to win. I mean, we ran out of energy and got our butts whipped. We went to Wichita State, undefeated number one team in the nation at the time, but depth gives you a chance to win those 3 games in a row. And what people are going to remember most, and what we want as a coaches app, is a chance to get the NCAA tournament, a chance to win games in the NCAA tournament, and having 10, 11, 12 healthy players that can go in the game and contribute is a number one issue, is talent to good coaching. And so we've got some good talent and good depth.
We're still like 10, 12 weeks away from Big West play, but I want to just get your quick impressions of the conference this year. And is it unfair of me to think about you guys as, despite a couple of seventh place regular season finishes the last 2 years, is it unfair to think you guys expectations-wise as maybe being a 2-3-4 team in the conference?
I feel like right now with the talent we have, we're a top half of the team. I think we're a top 4 team based upon what we have in the court right now. I felt like that the previous 2 years as well. We suffered some critical injuries to critical scoring positions loss of players from one reason to the other, and that is where you lose it. I mean, even the team with that went to the NCAA tournament, we had Kyle Otister out with injury, and this year we had Kyle Toth out some academic issues. So having two guys that can knock shots down, when you just miss that.
It's kind of the point I was trying to make earlier.
Yeah, it's just sometimes one or two games is the difference in, third place and seventh place. Always that way in the Big West. So I feel great about our opportunities, but ultimately we got to do it on the floor. And I think this is a great year to kind of push that envelope and push the ball and push for that a top seed.
Where are you guys feeling health-wise right now? I saw Brian in a walking boot and Luke today.
Luke just had some back spasms from lifting weights, and so that was the first practice he's been. He's got some bone spurs and some other issues that limit how many days in a row he can go hard. Brian's got a long way to go. He's got a shot in his foot, and he hopes to be able to start practicing next Wednesday. He's got a month or more of conditioning to really be in playing shape, so we got a ways to go before Brian's going to be a regular contributor. And then we've got and then it's the typical start of the year bumps and bruises and issues that why we're giving the guys two, you know, they get 2 days off this weekend. We a little easier on Monday, and then give them a Wednesday day off. We need to take it slow. You can't beat up the players in the first month of the year, and so we've got some typical competing hard injuries that we got to take care of, and then we'll start building from there.
You guys had like a starting front line. I know we only got a couple more minutes. You guys had like a starting front line on the end of your bench and street clothes last year, with Zach and Josh and Luke. A talented group there. What are people going to see from your newcomers? Both those guys, obviously Zach's not a newcomer, but Josh and Luke, and then Serene and Jalen, in terms of what they can bring to the table. What can fans expect to see from those guys?
I think you're going to see some real flashes of brilliance to start with. You're going to see plays that Josh Martin can make, Luke Meikle can hit shots, Zach Gordon is running the court and giving us an aggression that we need. Jalen, a super quick left-hander. Serene can get to the rim like David Nwaba. You're also going to see some real frustrating plays because they're back. It's their first time on the court. When you sit out, there's rust on you. I would anticipate that you're going to see optimism when you see them play, and then some frustration as they knock the dust off. My patience is for them to really round into form by January and be really comfortable with the team in February, the second time we play in conference plays, because I realize the scouting reports are so good and they take away your strengths, and we're really counting on guys like Bennett to be a foundation, Joel Alwich to be a rock, David to be a fantastic athlete, leader, player, Ridge to spearhead the team, Reese to give us consistent minutes. We need all that from our returners so that we can bring in the new guys, getting them game experience. They have the talent. They do not have Division I game experience, none of them. And that's what we're going to have to train them how to do that. Making plays in practice are nice, but you've got to make them at 7 o'clock when the lights are on and the band is playing and the good defensive team is going against you. Now we really see how much of a performer you are.
Awesome. First game at UNLV on a Friday, at UCLA on a Sunday, is that right?
Yep, I love it. It's a Friday the 13th, and we're hoping that's somebody else's nightmare, not ours. But they've got a couple NBA prospects there like they do every year. That's going to make for great basketball. A 7-foot center that might be a one-and-done, or a Zimmerman kid. A couple high major transfers that are able to start right away. A fifth-year guy. So they're a top 30 wing player from the East Coast. So great talent, great venue, and exactly the kind of venue we want to be in that reminds us of going to the NCAA tournament. And it's two games in 3 days at high major teams. And I said, well, that's what the Sweet 16 is. You got to beat two really good teams in big venues if you ever want to get the Sweet 16. So that's kind of us stepping up and saying, that's what Wichita State's like. This is what the best top 40 teams and programs in America are like, and that's what we'll find out on a Friday and a Sunday.
Thanks a lot, Coach. I appreciate the time. Goodbye.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. The people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue.